Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Arena REIT half year 2021 results. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There'll be a presentation followed by a question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I'd now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Rob DeVos, Managing Director. Please go ahead.
Thanks very much, Bernadette. And good morning, everyone, and a very warm welcome to Arena REIT's results presentation for the half year to December 2020. Our announcement, investor presentation and financial statements were released to the ASX earlier this morning. My name is Rob DeVos, Arena's Managing Director. Joining me on the call today is Gareth Winter, Arena's Chief Financial Officer. The format of today's presentation will include an overview of the highlights for the period and an update on our performance against strategy. Gareth will provide us some insight into Arena's financial results and capital management position, and I'll close the presentation with an update on portfolio operations and commentary on Arena's outlook. Of course, there will, as always, be an opportunity for questions at the end of the presentation. Moving into page three, our highlights, and I'm very pleased to report that in the six-month period to 31 December, Arena has achieved positive portfolio, investment and community outcomes, which has been aided by an improved operating environment and outlook for our tenant partners. Arena's highlights for the period include statutory profit of $61 million and underlying cash-based net operating profit of $24.7 million, up 15% on half year 20. We've acquired seven operating early learning centre properties and completed nine development projects, including two post-balance date. Total capital deployed on origination and developments was $74 million. And coincidentally, $74 million is also the anticipated total cost of our replenished development pipeline, which now includes 13 early learning centre projects. We've distributed 7.35 cents and have increased our full year distribution guidance to 14.8 cents for financial year 21, reflecting an increase of 5.7% on the prior period. We've seen further valuation growth across the portfolio, contributing to an increase in NAV, which is up 5% in a six-month period. And the portfolio WALE has increased to 14.7 years, the longest in the Australian listed REIT market. Gearing has increased following capital deployment, but remains below 20%, providing balance sheet capacity to take advantage of new opportunities that are consistent with our strategy. We were also pleased to release our inaugural sustainability report in the period, which described how Arena's portfolio contributes to community access, inclusion and well-being, and identifies areas for future focus where improvements can be made. So overall, pleasing headline operational and financial results in another active period for the business. Moving to the next slide, and underpinning those positive outcomes in the first half is Arena's consistent approach, strong industry relationships, and high conviction on maintaining our discipline and executing on strategy. Operational highlights for the period under the team's key focus areas are 100% occupancy across the portfolio has been maintained, and despite external challenges during calendar year 20, this reporting period marks five consecutive years of 100% occupancy across the portfolio. This achievement highlights the quality of our portfolio, the strong underlying fundamentals that support the social infrastructure sector, and the proactive asset management programs undertaken by the Arena team. Average rental growth was 2.6% across the portfolio for the half. It is worth noting that this does not include the 25 financial year 20 market reviews and 11 financial year 21 first half market reviews, all with one of our larger tenants. We're very close to having those resolved and anticipate the result to be 6 to 6.5% average growth across these assets, which is consistent with results from prior periods. We've acquired seven operating properties, six in metropolitan Melbourne and one in Brisbane. Each have been acquired on a preferred long-term triple net lease and in aggregate cost $40 million and provided a net initial yield on all costs, including transaction costs, of 6.1% and an initial weighted average lease term of 27 years. We've successfully completed nine early learning centre developments with four existing tenant partners. These projects had a total investment cost of $46 million and a net initial yield on all costs, again including transaction costs, of 6.7%. We've also replenished our development pipeline with the acquisition of five new early learning centre development sites. Each are pre-committed to an existing tenant partner on 20-year triple net leases. During the period, we made good progress on our renewable energy program that is focused on working with our tenant partners to install and promote the use of solar and reduce the energy intensity of our portfolio. We installed a further 26 systems over the last 6 months and now have 43 properties that are using solar power. We continue to work with our tenant partners on new opportunities to decrease carbon emissions. Our recent programs alone have reduced over 500 tonnes of carbon emissions annually. In relation to rent relief programs, all of our tenant partners remain compliant with agreements struck in financial year 20. There's been one further rent relief granted for a single operator in Victoria, which totaled $18,000. And at the end of January 2021, we had 100% of build rent collected. As mentioned, our WALE has been extended out to 14.7 years following new acquisition and development completions. We have sold three early learning centres in the period that, relative to the balance of the portfolio, were older and less efficient. Each were located in Queensland and they were sold for total proceeds of $7.1 million and a premium of 15% to book value. We saw further valuation growth across the portfolio of $35.3 million for the half year. And the passing yield for the portfolio is now 6.13%, having compressed by 9 basis points. Moving on to a quick update on COVID impacts for the business on slide 5. And whilst operating conditions have improved markedly for our tenant partners over the last 6 months, we remain vigilant in assessing the direct and indirect risks of the pandemic. To recap on ARENA's two primary risks as a result of the pandemic, firstly, the health and wellbeing of our team, our consultants and contractors, and as a result, our ability to provide business continuity. And the second primary risk is our tenants' ability and willingness to pay rent in a challenging operating environment. In relation to the first risk, our team and our consultants and contractors have and continue to respond exceptionally well. Our business continuity programs, our business systems, stakeholder engagement, and governance programs continue without hindrance. And importantly, we've maintained our strong team culture. In relation to the second primary risk, our tenants' ability and willingness to pay rent, pleasingly the operating environment for our tenants has improved over the last 6 months. All of ARENA's properties remained open and trading over the period, delivering essential community services. We have no challenges in relation to rent collection currently, with 100% of contracted rent paid and no arrears. All repayments of deferred rent agreed in financial year 20 that have fallen due have been paid, and progress on our development and origination programs has largely been unaffected to date. What has been consistent through the pandemic period is the efforts by the federal government to ensure that early learning services remain open and viable, not just for now, but for the important contribution they'll make to an enduring economic recovery, allowing working families to get back into the workforce and providing opportunity for better financial security, particularly for women, and assisting economic activity over the medium to long term. We're acutely aware the pandemic is not over, but believe we are well positioned to manage any future challenges as and when they arise. Moving on to the next slide, there's no doubt the COVID period has provided us an opportunity to reflect further on the importance of community and sustainability. We were pleased and it felt fitting to present our inaugural sustainability report in the period. The report marks ARENA's commitment to progress and disclose strategies to address sustainability challenges and opportunities. The main purpose of the sustainability report is to consolidate and communicate the plans, activities and initiatives that are already embedded in the way ARENA is managed. The process has provided us an opportunity to assess and identify areas where performance can be improved, and these opportunities are reflected in the report. We have a great opportunity to work collaboratively with our tenant partners to effect positive change and drive better financial and environmental outcomes. Renewable energy is an important current part of this positive change. Through our renewable energy initiatives, we are delivering operating cost savings to our tenant partners and at the same time improving environmental outcomes. We also have significant influence on built form outcomes. We have a leading track record of working with our early learning tenant partners to create or renew efficient, flexible and well-located accommodation at sustainable rents and operating costs. This in turn provides the opportunity for our tenant partners to focus on their core purpose, to deliver essential services to Australian communities. We look forward to keeping you abreast of our progress on our sustainability programs in our annual sustainability report. I'll now pass you over to Gareth to provide an update on the financial results. Thanks, Gareth.
Thanks, Rob, and good morning, everyone. Just turning to page 8 of the presentation, you will find a summary of ARENA's operating income statement for the half year, which shows a 15% increase in net operating profits to $24.7 million and a statutory profit of $61 million for the half. There's a reconciliation of the operating profit to statutory profit included in the appendix to the presentation, with the most substantial reconciling item being the periodic revaluation of investment property. Operating EPS of 7.26 cents is 1% higher than the comparative period and is in line with our expectations for the first half of FY21. A couple of points to note around EPS growth in FY21 is that the relative growth in the first half was reduced due to our mid-year cap raise of $90 million prior to the deployment of that capital into new investment. And EPS growth in the second half of FY21 will be stronger due to the full period effect of capital deployed in FY20 and FY21, which is reflected in our full-year distribution guidance. That pattern of first, second half growth is pretty normal for our business. The key driver of the increase in operating profit is the 7% increase in property income, which has been derived from a combination of rent reviews and capital deployment. Like-for-like rent reviews averaged 2.6% in the half, noting that this does not yet include the effect of the unresolved FY20 and FY21 market rent reviews, which will be backdated to the review date when finalised. And as Rob mentioned, hopefully that will be very soon. ARENA's ongoing program of investment in ELC developments and new acquisitions contributed to income via a net capital deployment of $74 million in the first half, which included the completion of the 9 ELC developments and the acquisition of 7 operating ELCs in conjunction with tenant partners. This is net of the sale of 3 ELCs for $7 million at 15% above their June 20 independent valuation. Some specific comments in respect of COVID-19 related rent relief arising in the first half of FY21, rent abatement was less than $20,000 and was limited to a single tenant in Victoria, which demonstrates the relative resilience of ARENA's portfolio throughout the pandemic to date. There are no rent arrears and all the expected rent from July through January has been received, including the collection of deferred rent. Rent deferred in the first half of FY21 from rent relief agreements from FY20 with a net deferral of $750,000, all in the first quarter of FY21. All rent deferrals are relatively short term, with over 70% of rent deferred in FY20 to be received in FY21, and all deferred rent to be received within 3 years, with a weighted average collection period of 16 months. Just looking at some other line items. In the income statement, other income includes fees from our healthcare property syndicate, which was recently extended by investors for a further 2-year term, and interest income. Property expenses, a small increase there due to additional allowances for independent valuations and property inspections. Operating expenses, there was a small increase in cash operating expenses in the first half of FY21, primarily due to costs related to the growth of the business, including custodian and corporate insurances. Pleasingly, and this points to the benefit of our internalised management platform, is that revenues increased by a comparative $1.8 million and OPEX only increased by $20,000. The reduction to finance costs reflects a combination of the reduced cost of borrowing and the significant expansion of development WIP, increasing the capitalisation of interest. Our average monthly WIP balance was $66 million during the first half of FY21, compared to $26 million in the comparative period. Our overall cost of borrowing reduced to 2.9% compared to 3.15%, and that was mainly as a result of lower swap rates during the period. The higher statutory profit of $61 million is primarily due to the growth in net operating earnings and the higher positive net asset revaluations, which were $35 million in the December half versus $20 million in the first half of FY20. Just looking at distributions per security, given the substantial deployment of capital in FY21 to date and greater clarity on the impact of COVID-19, ARENA's FY21 distribution guidance was upgraded in December to 14.8 cents per security, which represents growth of 5.7% on FY20. We've paid a distribution of 7.35 cents per security for the first half, as we're effectively straight lining that annual distribution over the course of the year. And as I mentioned, EPS growth will be greater in the second half of FY21. And as a result, the four-year distribution payout ratio is expected to be similar to previous years at around 98% of net operating profit. Turning to page 9, this slide presents a summary of Arena's balance sheet. The full balance sheet is in the appendix to the presentation. Key points to note are the growth in total assets, primarily due to the $74 million invested in acquisitions and developments to date in FY21, and the asset revaluations of $35 million, which was also the primary driver of the 5% increase in net assets per security. This was less a reduction in cash holdings, which reduced from a bit over $70 million at June to near $30 million at 31 December. Net gearing at just under 20% is well below Arena's maximum gearing range of circa 35 to 40%. However, this level of gearing is providing us with substantial liquidity to fund the existing pipeline of developments and enables us to continue to take advantage of growth opportunities at a low incremental cost of capital, and also provides a buffer around any future market volatility. Gearing is expected to increase by a further 2% as our existing development projects are completed. Turning now to page 10 and the capital management summary. Again, there is some additional information in the appendix. The approach to capital management continues to prioritise resilience and risk reduction. At 31 December, we had around $120 million of immediately available liquidity through our debt facility and cash reserves to cover the $30 million of existing development commitments outstanding. This, in combination with our modest gearing, allows us to actively consider further growth opportunities. Our weighted average debt term is 3 years and with no expiries before March 2023. The all-in cost of debt reduced to 2.9%, and we expect our interest rate hedge cover to be maintained in our usual 70 to 80% range. If interest rates remain around existing levels, we expect that our average cost of debt will further reduce over time, as there is still some positive reversion in our hedge book. Finally, it is important to note that Arena is operating well within the requirements of our debt facility, and we have substantial headroom in both our LVR and ICR covenants. I will now hand back to Rob, who will give you an update on Arena's property portfolio. Thanks, Rob.
Great. Thanks very much, Gareth. And I'm now on page 12. Arena owns 245 properties across Australia with a value of $1.017 billion. The portfolio is approximately 66 hectares with improvements that are almost exclusively purpose-built to accommodate some 20,000 families in their early learning needs, as well as contributing to the needs of 8 communities' primary healthcare needs in our medical centre portfolio and 35 people with high physical support needs in our specialist disability accommodation portfolio. The portfolio's passing yield is 6.13%, which is, as I mentioned earlier, has seen compression over the six-month period, about 9 basis points, which added with rent increases has provided for valuation growth of about 3.9% for the half. We continue to view the portfolio as having compelling value, an exceptionally strong occupancy record, the longest WALE in the sector, a land and building rate of under $1,600 per metre, increased investor awareness of essential nature of social infrastructure property, and with current low interest rate environment and strong recent transaction market evidence, we see the likelihood of further yield compression and as such the likelihood of further valuation growth. Sector diversity for the portfolio has not materially changed in the period. Geographically, we have over 80% of the portfolio located in the eastern seaboard states. In terms of tenant diversification, we continue to improve our spread of tenant partners, now totalling 30, with 27% of Arena's income supported by Australia's largest early learning provider, a good start. Moving on to the lease expiry, the portfolio WALE was extended to 14.7 years during the period. This was a result of new development and acquisition activity. We have no current vacancies and no income expiring in financial year 21 or financial year 22. As you can see in the graph in this slide, we have only 2% of the portfolio's income expiring in the next 7 years, and no material concentration of expiries in any year to beyond 2043. These are very long-term, highly transparent and predictable cash flows that have annual escalations, providing real growth to our security holders. Every one of our early learning centre properties and our specialist disability accommodation properties provides important operating information data that assists us in asset management and our capital allocation decisions, and has been an important tool in assisting the portfolio remain 100% occupied for the last 5 years. Moving on to our rent review profile on the next slide. And here on this slide, you can see that we've broken down our review structures for the first and second half and the following three financial years. In the first column, you can see that the first half consisted of 46.5% of full-year income being subjected to rent reviews at the higher of CPI and 2.5%, 5.9% of CPI, and we have 3% of unresolved market reviews, which is, as I mentioned earlier, those 11 properties. Each of those are capped and collared at 0 to 7.5%, and we anticipate these will be resolved in the second half of financial year 21, along with the 25 outstanding financial year 20 market reviews. And as mentioned, we anticipate the likely outcome to be between that 6 and 6.5% growth on those properties. In the second half, we have 35% fixed or CPI with a minimum ratchet of at least 2.5%, 4% of CPI and a further 5.8% of market reviews. Looking forward to financial years 20, 23 and 24, you can see that the vast majority of rent reviews continues to be those fixed or CPI with at least a 2.5% ratchet. Our exposure to CPI is limited to less than 9% per annum. Saying that, if we do get a surprise with increased inflation, we will benefit from the review structures that allow for the higher outcome of CPI or the ratcheted 2.5%. Each of the market rent reviews in financial year 22 and 23 has that 7.5% cap and a collar at the prevailing passing rent, and the 17% of income that is subject to a market review in financial year 24, approximately half of that is capped and collared at the 0 to 7.5%, and the remaining half is collared at 0%, so the rent can't go down, but is uncapped for any increase. Moving to page 15, our origination programs continue to perform well. We've secured a targeted pipeline of quality early learning centre development projects that will complement the portfolio and deliver future earnings growth. The 9 projects completed in the financial year to date have all been designed and completed to suit each individual's tenant's operations. And our tenant partners have reported strong occupancies in the short time since completion. We anticipate completing 14 development projects through the course of financial year 21, so a further 5 in the second half. In total, our development pipeline has 13 early learning centre projects that are located in Queensland, Victoria, Western Australia and New South Wales. The total forecast cost of $74 million, of which we have capital expenditure outstanding of $30 million. We anticipate that the average initial yield on all costs for these development projects will be 6.6%. Each of these development projects are being undertaken on a fund-through basis, and we've secured agreement for leases with existing tenant partners on every project in our standard 20-year triple net lease format. Arena has an enviable record in executing on its development pipeline. Over 30% of our current operating portfolio has been developed by us since listing in 2013. We've completed 49 successful early learning centre developments with 11 tenant partners across all Australian states and territories, with the exception of the ACT. Moving on to the next slide, in regards to the early learning centre operating environment, there's well been publicised the federal government support of the early learning sector through 2020 was significant. And for the very most part, well designed and well received by operators that required support, particularly through the COVID lockdown periods. Both major political parties and Australian communities more generally recognise that a well-performing early learning sector is integral to assisting parents and carers, and particularly females, get back into the workforce in the short term. There is also a growing awareness of the positive lifelong learning prospects of children that attend early learning services, and the broader role that that plays in creating a more socially and emotionally well-adjusted community and a more qualified and productive workforce in future generations. In relation to supply, net new supply of early learning centres moderated in calendar year 20. Across the country, there were 397 new long day centres opened and 103 centres removed from the market, so a net addition of 294 centres against a net addition of 320 centres in 2019. So that's net growth of approximately 3.7%, down from 4.2% in the prior year. There's no real surprises in these numbers from us. Most of that new supply was either underway or close to it prior to the onset of COVID, so it made sense to see those projects followed through to completion. In relation to demand, prior to the onset of COVID, Australia recorded its highest number of children attending long daycare to March 2020, up 13% since the introduction of the childcare subsidy 2 years earlier. The childcare subsidy continues to do exactly what it was designed to do, increasing early learning participation, promoting higher workforce productivity, and ultimately providing better overall community outcomes. Whilst there's been no new government release on actual numbers of children attending early learning services across the country since the March 2020 quarter, we anticipate from our own data and industry knowledge that demand is continuing to increase at pre-COVID levels, particularly for centre-based services. Moving to the next slide, ARENA's early learning portfolio is in a strong position. We're 100% occupied and we've collected 100% of rent due to 31 January. Every one of our early learning centres is open and trading, and every one of those centres provides us business operating data, and that data provides us important information to assist asset management and capital allocation decisions, as well as providing insight into the general health of the sector. As we have in previous reporting periods, we've included operating data up to the quarter prior. That data provides underlying operator occupancy across the portfolio has remained stable in that high 70% range. Daily fee growth has increased since December 2019 to reflect an average of $109 per day, which remains significantly below the government's benchmark fee of $135 per day. And as you can see on the graph at the bottom of this page, the government funding package continues to suit our early learning centre portfolio, which is typically geared towards middle-income families. And to give this some context, 99% of our early learning centre portfolio has daily fees under the government's childcare subsidy benchmark fee as of September. Our average rent per place across the portfolio has increased marginally to $2,470 per place, and given that we have developed more than 30% of the portfolio, remains highly affordable in our view. The net rent to revenue ratio was 11.3% at September. Moving on to the next slide. In regards to the healthcare sector, the healthcare portfolio continues to perform to our expectation. Megatrends for healthcare also remain positive. A higher number of people are moving into that older age bracket, and a higher proportion of the population is living with chronic illness, which underpins an increased need for healthcare services and the infrastructure to accommodate those services. The largest healthcare tenant partner has recently undergone a change of control, with the Healius Medical Centre business being sold to BGH Capital. As a condition to ARENA's consent to that change of control, new security in the form of a 12-month bank guarantee and an obligation for the tenant to provide audited financial reports was introduced. SA Care, our specialist disability accommodation tenant partner, also continues to perform to expectation, maintaining high occupancy, in fact increasing profitability over the period. Moving on to the outlook, and today we're reaffirming our distribution guidance for financial year 21. Of 14.8 cents per security, an increase of 5.7% on financial year 20. Income growth is underpinned by contracted annual rent increases and outstanding market rent reviews, as well as the full impact of financial year 20 and financial year 21 acquisition and development completions. Looking forward, early learning and healthcare services are integral to economic recovery and improving community outcomes. And those important themes underpin ARENA's portfolio value and investment objective of providing long-term predictable distributions to our security holders with the prospects for growth. We have balance sheet capacity to undertake and take advantage of new opportunities that are consistent with our strategy of gearing at less than 20% and no debt expiry falling due until March 23. We have a highly engaged and experienced management team with strong industry relationships and in-house development and origination expertise that will assist us in sourcing future opportunities in a disciplined manner. In closing, I would like to thank our tenant partners and our team for contributing to the positive investment portfolio and community outcomes that have been achieved through first half 21. That concludes the formal part of today's presentation. Surely. Thanks everyone for your attendance on the call today. That concludes our investor briefing. Please don't hesitate to contact Sam Gav or I directly with any questions, and we look forward to seeing and talking with a number of you over the next couple of days and weeks. Thank you very much.
That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.